Welcome to the Redemption Life Church Podcast. Get ready for a powerful, life-changing message of freedom and encouragement. When you are in the Brookville area, join us for an exciting and uplifting worship experience. Times and locations available at www.redlifechurch.com. Follow us on Twitter at Red Life Church and like us on Facebook at facebook.com/redlifechurch.
This makes we start on Easter Sunday when Jesus declared to Mary and Martha at the resurrection of Lazarus, he said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who comes to me will not die, but will live." Amen? And so we've been looking through these I am statements. Last week we looked at Jesus when he said, "I am the good shepherd, and the sheep know my voice, and the voice of another they will not follow." And we looked at Psalm 23. How many looked at Psalm 23 this week and reminded yourself that goodness and mercy are following you? Amen? That wasn't very good. That was a lot more powerful last week than it was right now. Goodness and mercy are following you. Amen. They're chasing you down as we follow the Good Shepherd. And we're going to continue that this week as we look at John chapter 14, verses 1 through 7. Let's just read that together, and then we're going to pray and dig in today. John chapter 14, verse 1. Jesus is talking. He says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going." Verse 5, Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way?" Verse 6, Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Let's pray. Jesus, we love you. We thank you so much for your word today. And God, I just ask you in the name of Jesus and through the power of the Holy Spirit that you would open up our eyes, open up our ears, open up our hearts to see, to hear, to understand, and receive everything that you have to say to us today. God, I believe you have something deep that you want to deposit into our heart, into our spirit, that's going to begin a transformational work. And Heavenly Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that as we look at your word together today, that God, we would not just see stories, we would not just hear some lessons, we would not just get some encouragement for our week, but Jesus, I pray that we would have a real encounter with you, because you are the word that was made flesh and dwelt among us. And every time we look at your word, we have an opportunity to encounter you, the real person of Jesus Christ. And I pray, God, that we would do that today, that there would be nothing that would hinder, nothing that would distract, nothing that would disrupt, nothing that would keep us from that, Lord, in Jesus' name. I pray that you will make us alert and awake, God, ready to hear and receive. Jesus' name. Everybody said amen and amen. How many of you guys have ever ridden on an escalator? Anyone ever ridden on an escalator? How many of you guys have ever, the ones that are really cool are the stairs. I mean, escalators are pretty cool. Was anybody ever afraid of an escalator when you were a kid? It's always, even today, as you get close to the top of an escalator or the bottom and that big metal grinding teeth at the end where the track is going into, that always looks a little scary, especially if I'm wearing flip-flops or any kind of sandal. It just looks like, I mean, to make sure I time that really well. The really cool escalators, I think they call them people movers, are those flat ones in the airport, you know what I'm talking about, especially one of the larger areas. Cincinnati has them where you have to walk a long way to get from one terminal to baggage claim, and they'll have those really long, you know what I'm talking about, those really long strips of the flat escalator people movers. Those are really awesome. Now, if you're on a people mover, the flat escalator, or just a regular stair escalator in the mall, there are three types of people on an escalator, right? There's the first type, and we're probably all one of these types. We've probably all been one of these types at some point in our life. There's the guy that gets on the escalator, and it's just a time for him to chill, and it's a little nice ride, right? He's just going to sit back, lean against the rail, right, and just take the ride, right? How many are just take a ride type people? You just get on the escalator, you can take a ride, right? And then the other type of person is the person that gets on the escalator or the people mover, and you want to walk with this. You want to walk up the stairs to get there even faster. And that's awesome. You ever get, like, especially at the airport when you're on the walking one and you're walking and you're, like, each step is like tripled because of the movement, and you're just like breezing by people that aren't on the thing, and I'm like, what now? Now, when you're a walker, if you want to walk up the stairs or you want to walk through the track, there's nothing more annoying than the rider guy, right? That just stands right in the middle of the way. And you ever had that moment where you're taking a ride and you see a guy walking and you're like, should I walk now or should I just stay here? And if it's me and I'm taking a ride, I'm always just going to stay here. I figure you can just slow down for a minute. It's okay. You can get to wherever you're going 20 seconds later. It's not going to be a big deal. You know what I'm saying? And so some people might move to the subway. So you got walkers, and then the third type of person is the person that always wants to play the game of turning around and going down the up escalator, right? Or trying to beat the escalator or the people mover thing. Isn't that what it's called, a people mover? That's what I call it. I mean, I don't know if that's the official name, but I call it a people mover. The flat one. The one that wants to try to run back and see. So wherever you are, how many have ever done that? Try to go up the down escalator. Anybody ever done that before? Has anyone ever succeeded at that? It's actually pretty difficult. It takes a lot of work, way more work than I've ever wanted to do. I've done it before, but never like to the end. I just gave up and said, I'll just go back up the stairs. And so when Jesus says, I am the way, that's you know, this may not be a very theological correct. I don't know if you would get this taught in a Bible school or not, but I imagine Jesus saying kind of he's the escalator. He's the people mover. When he says, I am the way, he says, you get on my path, you get on my track, and let me take you to the destination that I have destined and prepared for you. Amen? So he's like an escalator. He's the path that we get on, and he moves us. And here's the thing. He moves us, and we can do one of three things. We can either kind of sit back and just kind of chill and just take the ride slow. We can also get fired up and pursue and run up the track with Jesus moving with us along the way and go really after him like the song, I Will Pursue You. Or we sometimes turn around and decide, I don't like where this is going. I'm going to try to go back the other way, right? But here's the problem. Once I've decided to get on the escalator, once I've decided to make Jesus the way and said he is the way and put myself in agreement with that, man, it's very difficult. I'm going to find my life very, very difficult when I try to go in an opposite direction of where he's taking me, because he is the way. Amen. And he loves us so much and pursues us so much and desires so much good things for us that he's not going to just easily let us hop off the track and just make it easy for us to go back. He's going to keep pulling us forward even though we're trying to move the opposite direction. Amen? And so hopefully today we'll decide we're going to be the person that runs the way that Jesus called us to run. Amen? John chapter 12 or 13 begins what is the Last Supper. In fact, the entire the 13 through around chapter 17, 18 is all actually this scene at the Last Supper of Jesus with his 12 disciples. Now, this is very interesting to me because all the other statements of these I ams, the five other I ams we look at, besides the resurrection, he was in a group of people, but he was talking directly to one person. But I am the bread, I am the light, I am the door, I am the shepherd. These were all statements that Jesus makes to large crowds. These are all statements that Jesus makes while he's teaching in a large setting. These are all statements and revelations about who he is that Jesus declares of himself to the crowd. This is a Sunday morning worship experience. He's in a debate and people are watching and he's declaring these things. But these last two I am statements that we're going to look at, the only people that got to hear these statements were the 12 disciples. These are things that Jesus told and revealed about himself only at the Last Supper, only with the 12 disciples. And here's what you have to understand. Here's what you need to get. There are only certain aspects of who Jesus is that I will discover while following him at a distance. You understand what I'm saying? Jesus loves us all the same. He loves all of us the same. But he's only going to reveal himself to people who are actively pursuing him. And the person that's pursuing him with a little greater intensity and walking a little closer with him is going to see him a little more than the person who's just simply following at a distance. These last two I ams, when he says, I am the way and I am the vine, Jesus isn't talking to everyone. He's talking only to the 12, those 12 men that had given up everything to follow him for these last 3.5 years. And they're gathered together in this beautiful moment, just the night before, actually the night of his betrayal and a couple nights before his crucifixion. And he's giving him some last words before he goes and completes his mission. In fact, it's like this. Brian, stand up. And Verge, come here real quick if you guys can help me for a second. This is what it's like. And this is what some of us are. Brian is Jesus. Use your imagination. Sorry, Verge. Okay? Now, Verge is one of the disciples, right? And he's close to Jesus, okay? And he can see the colors of Jesus' shirt, right? This close to Brian, you can see that these buttons are the pearly, probably they'll snap, right? They're like snap. They don't have the thread, they snap. They're the pearly, you know, those that Western style button. And you can see all that, right? And if the closer you are to Brian, the more you can see about him. And you can hear the different inflections in his voice. You can see his beard. You can see the way he combs his hair. Now, if I may be a friend of Brian's too, right? But if I'm all the way over here, and this is as close to Brian as I want to get, I can see that he's there, right? And I can see that he's wearing a flannel shirt, and I can hear his voice, and I can kind of see his, you know what I mean? But I can't tell you the color of his eyes from here. You see what I'm saying? I can't make out what kind of buttons. I can see it's probably a button-up shirt, but I can't make out the kind of buttons. If my eyes were worse, I may not even be able to make out the color. You understand what I'm saying? And the closer I get, the closer I follow, the more I get to see. Does that make sense? And so some of you may be in a place where you're like, man, I'm really frustrated with my walk with God because I don't feel like I don't hear his voice, and I feel like I've just kind of stagnated, or I've learned all I'm going to learn, or I've heard all I'm going to hear. And my suggestion would you to be, check the distance that you're following him at. Because there's some things I can only see when I decide to get close to him. And as I get closer, I can make out the shades of blue. I can even see that there's 2 or 3 different shades of blue in that flannel shirt. You know, because I'm close. My proximity will determine my awareness. Amen? And so you can sit down. And so this is one of those, this is one of those things that Jesus reveals only to those who are in close proximity to him. I am the way. I am the way. And so if you want to get closer in your walk with God, go further in your walk with Jesus, hear more about who Jesus is, listen, I've got to stop following him at a distance. Amen? And so he's talking to his 12 disciples, the closest friends that he has, the people that are following him closer than anyone else. And he begins this statement. He's just in chapter 13. He's had this moment where he washes their feet. And he begins to say, listen, I'm about, he tells them, he's warning him, he's letting him know, he's getting them prepared. He goes, I'm about to go. I'm about to finish my job. I'm about to accomplish my task. I'm about to do what I was sent here to do, okay? And they begin to murmur. In fact, Peter even steps up and says, no, Lord, I'm not going to let that happen. And Jesus looks at Peter and says, let me tell you something, before the rooster crows 3 times tomorrow, you're going to deny that you even know me. That's how quickly this thing's going to turn around. And Peter's like, no. Jesus is like, okay, we'll see. And so he can see that the disciples are disturbed and they're upset. And he begins this way in John 14. He says, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. Listen, what's he telling them? He's saying, listen, guys, it's going to get rough. Things are going to get tough. You're not going to see me like you've seen me. You're not going to hear me and feel me like you have. He said, you're going to be discouraged. You're going to go through some rough times. You're going to go through some dark patches. You're about to go through a dark night of the soul. You're about to go through a dark season. But he says, don't worry, because I'm going to prepare a place for you that's greater than any situation or temporary setback or temporary trial or temporary circumstance that you are ever going to face on this earth. Amen? And we can take solace and we can take refuge in those very same words, that no matter what is going on right now in my life, I know that Jesus is in heaven, and that is my reward, and that is my home, and Jesus is preparing a place for me. Amen? It would be a terrible thing for me to miss heaven because of a temporary situation here on earth. And so many people right now are literally missing eternity based on present circumstances. Well, my job's not working out like I want to, so I'm not going to worship. I'm not going to pursue God. I'm not going to follow God as closely as I would because there's all these temporary situations and circumstances that I'm allowing dictate to me how closely to God I'm going to be. And Jesus said, no, forget all that. You got to understand something, that you may be going through something right now, but I'm preparing a better place for you. Amen? And you need to hear this. Listen to this. This is really important. Verse 3, he says, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. Listen to me close about heaven, because some of us could be completely missing the point of heaven. Listen. The thing that makes heaven, heaven, is the fact that Jesus is there. Is it an escape from hell? Yes. Is it a place of no more tears and no more sorrow and no more sickness and no more death? Yes. Is it a place where the streets are paved with gold? Yes. Is it a place where we will experience no pain and no discomfort and have our needs taken? Yes, it is all those things. But listen to me. If all of those things are there and Jesus is not there, it is not heaven. And if we are pursuing heaven simply to have a reward, simply to have a rest from our troubles, simply to have a place to go when we die, so that because the alternative is hell and a lake of fire, and we don't want that, that sounds pretty tough, that sounds pretty bad. Listen, but we have no desire. We have no desire to be with Jesus. We are not excited about the prospect of seeing Jesus. We're not fired up about the idea of talking and walking and holding hands with Jesus. Listen to me. You're missing the point. Amen? Jesus is the point of heaven. If heaven were on the side of a rocky cliff in the middle of the desert with nothing there, with no gold, with no sea of glass, with none of the things that we associate with heaven, if Jesus was there, friend, it would still be heaven, because Jesus is everything that we need. He is the bread of life. He is the way. He is the light. He is all in all. Amen? Jesus is the point of heaven. He says, I'm going to go prepare a place for you, not so that I can just give you a bunch of stuff and you know, listen, heaven is not 70 virgins and a bag of gold. Come on, somebody. That's some people's and religion's idea of heaven. No, heaven is there because our God is there. Our King is there. Our Jesus is there. The one who died on the cross and bled on a tree and gave his life for you and me. He is there, and I want to be where he is. And he says, I'm going to prepare a place for you, and you're going to follow me there. You're going to come after me there, and I'm going to bring you to myself there. Jesus is the focus and the point of heaven. And so he says, I'm going to go prepare a place for you, and you know the way. He says, you know the way to the place where I'm going. And Thomas steps up and says, whoa, Jesus, we don't know the way. We don't even know where you're going, much less do we know the way. And Jesus answers in verse, and that's what leads you to say. He says, wait a second, I am the way. He says, you may think you don't know the way, but understand, I am the way. Amen? Now let's talk about Jesus as the way for just a moment, because this you have to grasp this. A couple things about Jesus the way. And then we're going to look at a couple of, because he's the way, what that means for us. Listen. Notice that Jesus says, put verse 6 up there for me, E. Jesus says, I am the way. Not a way, but I am the way. Amen? And that's three letters that can mean the world difference. If Jesus says, I am a way, that would mean that there may be some other ways. But Jesus boldly declares, no, I am not a way, I am the way. And listen to me, what you need to understand is that Jesus is not a way, but he is the only way to heaven. He is the only way to God. He is the only way to the Father. He is the only way for salvation. Jesus is the way. Not a way, he is the way. Now listen, This goes against our culture of all inclusivity and everything is okay and everyone is right and I don't know who's right and who's wrong and I'm not going to tell you, I'm not going to say anything for sure because we just don't know in our transcendental euphoric state of everyone, you know, whatever you want to be, whatever you want to call yourself, whatever you want to identify yourself with, whatever race you want to identify yourself with, it doesn't matter that you're white, you can call yourself black if you want to and I have to accept that. It doesn't matter if you're a woman, if you want to call yourself a man, I have to accept that. Listen. That goes against everything Jesus taught when he says, I am the way. If you tell people Jesus is the only way right now, man, there are places where that can get you in a lot of trouble. Amen? Because we're so indoctrinated into this, you know, we'll all just hold hands and we're all okay and you're okay and I'm okay. I'm not going to tell you anything different. You know, you listen. Well, this is what I believe. You can believe something and be wrong. Amen? And I can disagree with you and love you. I can disagree with you without judging you. Amen? But he says, I am the way. I am the only way. Now listen. If Jesus is not the only way to God, then he is not any way to God. Okay? This is what many people tell you. Well, I believe Jesus was a good man, and Jesus was an okay guy, and he was a great teacher and a great prophet, or whatever else, and he was a great moral instructor, but Jesus is just a way. And I'm trying, how many have heard that? Well, I'm going to find my own way. You know, I'm not going to, Jesus, Christianity, and that's just not my way. I'm going to find my own path, okay? And that's fine. Find your own path, as long as Jesus is the path. Amen? Just make sure Jesus is the path. If he's not the only way, he's not any way, because it would make him a liar. And how can a liar be the way to God? Doesn't make any sense, right? If Jesus is not the only way, he's not any way. He can't just be a way because he declared he was the way. What kind of crazy person would declare he was the only way if he wasn't the way and just be one of many ways? Right? Is that confusing? It's confusing when I think about it, but the reality is this. He is the way. Amen? Jesus is the only way. Now, you may, now again, here are our culture of fairness and sensitivity, and we want to bucket that and say, well, that's not fair, because not everybody knows the way to Jesus. Not everybody has discovered Jesus. What if you weren't brought up in a Christian home? What if you were brought up as a Muslim? What if you were brought up as a Buddhist? What if you were brought up as a thing? And that sounds really unfair that Jesus would say, I am the only way, and if you don't come through this door, and if you don't come through this gate, and if you don't come through this path, you're not going to end up getting to heaven. That's very unfair. Right? That is unfair. My flesh tells me that's unfair. My mind wants to think that's unfair. But here's the reality. Jesus, the way, is the most inclusive, open-handed, open-armed way to God in the world. Because this way is available to all. There's no one excluded from the way once you decide, I'm going to follow Jesus the way. Amen? Jesus is the way. He is the only way, and he is the most inclusive way, loving way, and says, anybody that wants to follow this way, come on. Yeah. Amen? He's the way. Now, because he is the way, listen, because he is the way, this is where things get complicated. Jesus did not draw them a map. Necessary. I mean, we have his word. But his word is only a way to get to him. Amen? Listen to me. I know we've been told, I'm probably guilty of saying it, the Bible is the roadmap of life. Bless God. Amen? I've probably said that. I really have. This is the instruction book of life right here, brother. Okay? And it's true. That there's truth in that. But listen. This is more than just a roadmap. This is more than just an instruction book. This is the way to Jesus. And if I get some instructions for life and don't get to Jesus, I've missed it. And if I get a roadmap to a better life and I don't get to Jesus, I've missed it. And here's the thing about this book. Listen, you can follow the principles that God lays out in this book and you can be blessed. Because God has set up kingdom principles that are universal. Amen? A universal principle. If you give, it will be given unto you. Amen? You cannot be a Christian. You can be a heathen. You cannot serve God at all. And you can be a generous person. And because of the kingdom of the kingdom principle of sowing and reaping, when you sow, you will reap. Amen? Because of the kingdom principle of forgiveness and what it means to forgive and letting go of bitterness and letting go of unforgiveness, guess what? I can find freedom in my soul and healing in my soul when I choose to forgive. That doesn't necessarily make me a Christian. I can follow the principles in this book, but if I follow the principles and don't follow the person, I'm going to miss it. And so Jesus doesn't say, listen, I'm going to write you down a little guidebook and a little roadmap here. I'm going to jot you down some directions, and you're going to turn left at the big oak tree on 2nd Street, and then you're going to pass a blue house and a yellow house, and then there's a dog right there. That's my neighbor's dog, Billy. That's Billy's dog, and it's a big pit bull. Don't touch that dog. He's a mean dog. But when you see that dog, you're going to turn left down the alley. He doesn't give us these directions, right? He says, I am the way. You follow me. You come to me. You get involved with me. And as you follow me, I will take you there. Amen? And so because he doesn't give us a roadmap, and because he doesn't write us directions, and because he doesn't plug something into the tom-tom, he says, I am the way. That means this. That means I am required to follow a person, not just a set of directions. And sometimes, listen, I'll be honest, it would be so much easier if Jesus just followed, wrote down some directions and said, this is how you do it, wouldn't it? Just do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And that is what religion has tried to do for 2,000 years. We want to simplify the things of God and this personal relationship with Jesus to the simplest, most lowest common denominator and just give you a list of do's and don'ts. And if you just do the do's and don'ts, then you'll be okay. But Jesus says, I'm not a list of do's and don'ts. I am the way. And you're going to follow me, right? And guess what? Now listen. Because he's the way and I'm following a person, listen, and he's an infinite God, right? He can lead as the way that he has for me can look different than the way he has for Brian Hammond.
That's right.
Amen?
Amen.
I don't mean he's not going to do something that contradicts this word, right? They're prince, but you know, Brian may worship one way, and I may worship another way. Brian may be quiet. We all wish. Michelle says amen. No, Brian may be a quiet worshiper. I may be a loud worshiper, right? Brian may pray an hour a day. I may pray 10 minutes a day, and I get to God. But that's if we all. Brian may have a gift of and this Brian this guy is, I mean, he could fix anything. He really could. He works as a mechanic, and you could give him anything, and he could figure it out. Mechanical minded. Boom, 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 boom. I don't have that gift. That's not my gift, right? You give me something to do. Now, if I see it done, I can maybe do it. Maybe after some phone calls and borrowing some tools and doing it wrong 4 times, and then I'll figure it out. Okay. And then it's still not right. I'll just call Brian to come do it, right? Okay, I don't have that gift, right? Now, listen. Honestly, for most of the time, if you gave me a Bible and 10 minutes and a microphone, I could give you a sermon. It's my gift. If I gave Brian a Bible and 10 minutes and a sermon, he'd be in the bathroom puking his guts out. It's not his gift. You understand what I'm saying? And so, because I'm following a person, my path may sometimes look different than your path, and that the way Jesus leads me may look totally different, right? God may speak to me through a thought, through a feeling in my heart. God may speak to Brian through a dream and a vision, and it's all him because we're following a person, and because we're following a person, that leaves room for us all to have our own individual walks with God. And the important thing, listen, get this, guys. The important thing is not how I do it. The important thing is who I'm with. Amen? And as long as it's him, it's all good. Amen? That's good stuff. Because Jesus is the way, listen to this, because Jesus is the way, that means that I can't figure out the way myself. I'm required to follow him. Amen. What that means is this. What that means is this. Some of you need to get this, because some of you in this room right now are absolutely killing yourself trying to do what I'm about to describe. And you need to stop. Listen. You cannot fix yourself. Amen. You cannot clean yourself up. You cannot make yourself better. You cannot, your efforts to better yourself at the very best are washing a dirty pig. I'm not making that up. That's in the Bible. The Bible says a pig, like a dog returns to his vomit, a man will repeat his mistakes. And a pig will return to wallowing. Amen? I could take a pig out of a mud hole, right? I could take him outside, hose him off with some soap, and then I could get some real nice soap with some lotion and make him real soft, and I could spray him down with some cologne and make him real nice. I could take him inside my house. I could prop him up inside my recliner. I could put a bowl of popcorn on one side and a remote control on the other side, and I could sit that pig up in my Lazy Boy in front of my 64-inch TV and turn on television, and he could sit there, and he would look, you know, so, like, here's the problem. The second I turn my back on that pig, he's coming out of the Lazy Boy, he's walking out of the house, and he is going to find him a mud hole in which to wallow in. And do you know why he's going to do that? Because he's a pig, and that's what pigs do. And in regards to sin and righteousness and goodness, we are all pigs. And the only thing that can happen is that as I follow Jesus, he's the only one that can transform me. Amen? Religion focuses on behavior modification. Do this, do that. Don't say this, do say that. Raise your hands here. Don't raise your hands here. Don't go there. Do go here. Don't watch this. Do watch this. Yada, 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 yada. And all that is behavior. It's just changing my behavior. But I can only change my behavior so much and hold on to it without a heart change that will stick. And listen, let me just set some of you free in the name of Jesus. Stop killing yourself trying to change behaviors without, what you need to focus on is following the way, the truth, and the life, and let him transform you from the inside out. Amen? He's the way. I can't clean myself up. I can't fix myself. I can't figure out the way on my own. I can only surrender to him and follow him as the way. Amen? Amen? Lastly, because Jesus is the way, that should make you and me a sign pointing to it. Amen? Listen. Red Life Church is not the way. Amen? Now, I've said this before, church. You'll hear me say it lots of times. If all we do is win people to our church, we have failed in our mission to the gospel. Our job is not to just create more church attenders. Our job is to create Jesus followers. Amen? And if all we do is have people showing up to church on Sunday morning because they like the music and they like the feel when they're done and they're walking out that door not following Jesus, then we need to pray, we need to fast, we got to figure something out. We are not here just to build a big church, just to build a big gathering, just to build another place for people to come, just another place for Christians to be entertained. We are here to find and create an atmosphere where people can fall in love with Jesus and pursue him with everything that's in their being. Amen? So Red Life Church is not the way, it is a sign pointing to the way. We are a sign pointing to the way. Your life is a sign pointing to the way. And so then this is the question that can be very sobering to me. I gotta look in the mirror and ask myself, what way is my sign pointing to? If my life is a sign, which way is it pointing? And if it's not pointing to Jesus, I've got to figure that out. I've got to ask God, I need you to help me. I need you to redirect some things. I need you to reshift and reposition some things in my life because I want my life to point to you. I want somebody to be able to look at me and say, that's how I get to Jesus. Amen? Amen? Amen. We're a sign pointing to Jesus. If the band would come, begin to close. This I've never noticed this before in this text until I was studying it today, this week. Not today. I could give you a sermon in 10 minutes, but I'd take more time than that, just so we're clear. Look at this. In verse 5, Thomas says, I don't know the way. Right? I don't know the way. Look at this. Verse 4, though, Jesus says, you know the way to the place. Thomas says, I don't know the way. I don't know the way. In verse 7 again, Jesus says, if you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him, and you have seen him. Think about that. I started to read that, and I thought, wait a second. Jesus told them he knew the way, and Thomas didn't even realize that he knew it. You know what I mean? Think about that. I wonder if it's possible sometimes in my life that I'm much closer to him than I realize. Amen? I think sometimes what happens is I have this image and this idea of what that looks like. And anything that falls short of that, then I feel like I'm a failure, right? That's what's going on in the disciples' life. In the disciples' life, you have to understand this, guys. The disciples are following Jesus. The entire time they're following Jesus, they recognize he's the Messiah. But their picture of the Messiah was dated back to the Old Testament. And what they were waiting for is Jesus. They thought, listen, you have to understand, the Roman Empire is in charge of the entire world at this time. In charge of Israel as well, okay? All the Israelites are waiting on the Messiah to come and set up God's new kingdom on earth. What that meant to them was that the Messiah was going to show up, tear down the Roman Empire over Israel, and set up a new kingdom and a new order and rule that order. And the disciples never got it. Until Acts chapter 2 and the day of Pentecost, they were really waiting for Jesus to set up a kingdom on earth, not realizing that Jesus was here, the Messiah, to set up first a kingdom in our hearts. And so they're looking for that. So Thomas says, wait, we don't know where you're leaving. We don't know where you're going. We don't know. This is not what we thought this was going to look like. And Jesus says, you know the way. You don't know you know the way, but you know the way. Amen? And I think that's what he's saying to every one of us this morning. You may not know you know the way. You may not feel like you know the way. You may not see that you know the way. It may not look like you thought it was going to look. But rest assured, you know the way because you know me. Amen? Thomas says, we don't know you. We don't understand. Now, what Thomas doesn't know is that in just a couple of nights, Jesus is going to be crucified. Their world is going to be torn apart. They're going to go through the darkest season of their entire life. This man that they've been following forever is going to be gone, and they're going to sit around in an upper room for a few weeks waiting for something to happen called the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and it's not until that moment when the Holy Spirit enters their heart and soul that all of a sudden the lights click on and they get it. But he doesn't know that he's about to go through the worst trial of his life. But here's what you got to understand. Listen, God has a way of using trials to show us how close we really are. Amen? You ever went through something, and this is an amazing time in your life and in your walk with God. I don't like going through stuff. I don't like feeling discomfort and pain or uncomfortability or anything like that. But listen, sometimes you can go through something, and your response is not what it was 2 years ago. Anybody ever experienced that moment? You're like, where'd that come from? You know, like you get a bad report from the doctor, and instead of getting upset and crying and going crazy, all of a sudden you say, God's going to heal me. And you're like, well, where'd that come from? Well, you know what happened? Without realizing it, you were being led along the way. And Jesus is saying, you know the way. You don't know you know the way, but you know the way. You just keep following me. And God uses trials sometimes to show us, man, I'm a little further along than I thought I was. Amen? This word know in the Greek is the Greek word gnosko. Gnosko. When Jesus says you know the way and you have known him and you do know him, it's the word gnosko. The Greek word gnosko means beyond. It's beyond just an educational learning. It's beyond just a book learning, if you will. It's beyond just I read it in a book and I agree with it. Gnosko means I know it because I've experienced it. Jesus saying, you know me. Not because you read about it in a book. Get this, guys. Not because you read about it in a book. Not because you heard a preacher talk about it. But you know me because you've experienced me. And you know the way. And that's me because you've experienced it. Listen to me close, guys. Jesus wants you to know him, not just by book knowledge, not just by sermon knowledge. Jesus desires to know you through experience, to walk with you, to talk with you, to let you feel his presence, to lead you and guide you through every step of your life, man. To experience God is the type of knowing that Jesus has for us. And the disciples, listen, they never get this. They never fully grasped us, even to this moment. And yet still, listen, even though Jesus, listen, you got to get this. Don't tune me out yet. Give me 5 more minutes, okay? Jesus knows that they don't get it. Yet he goes ahead and speaks it to him anyway. He knows Thomas doesn't have any idea. It's just bouncing off of his head at this point. You know the way. You know me. You have known me. You see me. You know me. You know God. And Thomas is like, duh, duh. And yet Jesus still talks to him. Here's why. Jesus, the way, listen, speaks to me from a point in my future that he wants me to get to. Amen? Come here, Brian. I'm going to be Jesus this time. Brian is going this direction. You should stay right there for a second. Now Jesus sees Brian where he is, and he's the way, and he's following. And Jesus begins to speak to Brian and speaks to every one of us from someplace in our future where Jesus has declared for us to be. Okay? Now, we can hear what he's saying, but I don't get it because I don't see it yet. Now, here's what some of us do. This goes along with last week a little bit. As I was thinking about this, kind of unpacking my sermon. Some of us, we see Jesus as speaking to us from behind us. Jesus speaks to us from the future that he's laid out, the place that he's prepared for us. Some of us think Jesus is behind us, talking to us about all the crap we've been through and the stuff we've done. Like he's pushing us from behind, going, oh, come on, you messed up there. God, come on, Brian, get out of this, man. You screwed up here, you messed up there. That's not what Jesus does. Jesus doesn't talk to us about our past, man. You find me anywhere in the Bible where Jesus talks from somebody's back. He doesn't. Jesus always talks from the future, saying, I'm the way. Come here. You know me. You experience me. Come this way. Come find healing. Come find peace. And listen, if we could just shift our thinking and stop hearing Jesus talk about the junk from our past and start going towards the future he's calling to, we will discover our God-given purpose and destiny. Amen. That's why we talked about last week. Jesus placed goodness and mercy behind us, so when we look behind, we see that and not the other stuff. That way he is the shepherd and as the way can call to us from the future and say, come after me. Amen. Stand up all over this place this morning. Man, are you guys ready to start hearing Jesus and start following God into your future? Come on. Is there anybody ready to start hearing Jesus call to you? Amen. From your future, from the things that he has prepared for you, from the things he has declared for you? Listen, then let's do it. Let's become, listen. Give me just another minute. Listen, this is so good. In Acts chapter 9, you know what Christianity was first called? Before it was called the church. Before it was called Christianity, before it was called religion, you know what they called them? They called them followers of the way. And W is capitalized. That was what they were called. They didn't know what else to call them. They said, these guys are just, they're followers of the way. What way? Jesus. The way. The only way. Amen? Now, listen, this is, God is so good. Oh, feel the Holy Spirit. Now, John's gospel is completely different from the other three. Matthew, Mark, and Luke all write their gospels very early, within a few 5 to 10 years of Jesus' ascension. John doesn't write his gospel till he is probably in his late 60s or 70s. That's why the information in John is so different from the other three. John had the ability to see all the other information was out there, and John was able to write some other things that maybe had not been told yet. John writes this gospel after being persecuted and martyred for his faith. History tells us that John, the apostle, the elder, they call him in 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, lives out his days in the church of Ephesus as the pastor that Paul had instituted earlier in Acts chapter 19. John assumes leadership of that sometime after Timothy, and he lives out his days there as the elder, the last, longest living survivor. But listen, he survived. He was the only disciple that, as far as we know, didn't die by martyrdom. But that doesn't mean he wasn't martyred. John writes the book of Revelation because he's been exiled to an island full of prisoners on the Isle of Patmos. And the Bible says that when he's basically in prison, and he's not just in jail, but it's like, you know, Australia was an island. It was started from England would send the worst of the worst to this island and banish him there. That's what Patmos was in the Roman Empire. It was where they sent the worst of the worst. The rapists, the murderers, the pedophiles, the child molesters, the worst of the worst were sent there. And John is sent there for preaching the gospel. Why? Because they figure this old way guy, this Christian, he's not going to survive in that atmosphere. But in that atmosphere, John's eyes are open up and he sees the whole end game that God's preparing, and he writes the book of Revelation. When that didn't work, history tells us that they took John and they boiled him in oil. And it still didn't kill him. Can you imagine? Have you ever burnt your hand? And the skin kind of turns rubbery like a dolphin. That's what John looked like. Seriously. After being dunked in oil. Because listen. Sometimes God will keep us. He will keep us through something. But we'll still suffer some of the outside effects, right? John's skin was scarred and marred. Probably had hair falling out. Must have probably burned off. He was 3 times dipped in a vat of boiling oil to kill him. And it didn't kill him. God's hand was on him. And he was tore up, and he was messed up, and he goes, and when Patmos didn't kill him, and the oil didn't kill him, they finally just said, okay, this guy's had enough, we'll let him go. And so he goes to live out his days in Ephesus. Now I want you to hear something. It's after all that that John writes this. It's one thing for me to stand at the beginning of a road and say, this is the way. It's an entirely different one for me to stand near the end and call to someone else out on the beginning. This is the way. Even after all I've went through, even after all I've experienced, even after all of the trials and the circumstances, even after all of the pain, even after all of the heartache, even after all of the bitterness, even after all of the hurt, Jesus is still the way, and I will go this way every single time. I would take this way every single time, and twice on Sunday. This is still the way. He's saying this to us, not as one who's just discovered a sign and hoping it's the way, but he's saying it to us as one who has lived it and walked it and went through it and says, this is the way. You will not find another way or a better way, but Jesus is the way. Hallelujah. And I want that to be my testimony. Amen. At the end of my life, I can look at someone else and say, this is the way, friend. Yeah, I got banged up a little bit. Yeah, I got beat up a little bit. Yeah, it wasn't always easy. Yeah, there were some uphill climbs. Yeah, there was some stuff I had to crawl through. Yeah, there were some times I didn't know if I was going to make it. But sure enough, this is the way. Follow him. Amen.
Thanks for listening. I'm Pastor Justin, and I believe Jesus has begun a transformational work in your heart through this word you've just heard. I'd love to hear about what God is doing in your life. If you've made a commitment to follow him today or have a testimony to share about what God's doing, head on over to redlifechurch.com. Follow the tabs of the Get Connected page and send us a message. While you're there, you can also give to Red Life Church and to the work God is doing here in Brookville, Indiana. God's blessings upon you and your family.